Day 1187 of Russia's war on Ukraine. The death toll from the largest Russian aerial attack so far now at 13 people, including 3 children. Russia says it intercepted over 100 Ukrainian drones over its territory and that it's taken control over another village in the east of Ukraine. In response, the US president has called Vladimir Putin absolutely crazy. James Waterhouse is with us. He's BBC News Ukraine correspondent and he's in Kyiv this morning. James, good morning. Thanks for taking our call again today.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Tell us more about what's been happening over the weekend, including where you are in Kyiv.
Well, I mean, Kyiv is a city that goes through a lot of air raids, but the weekend we've just seen, I mean, it was the most intense I've experienced. And when you look at the numbers, they are clearly the biggest that have been launched by Russia. You know, on Saturday night, more than 360 drones and missiles were launched across Ukraine. The sky was lit up. The city was glowing from fires across Kyiv. There were air defences shooting into the sky. And what is interesting is that these Russian air raids, I mean, we know they can manufacture drones at a faster rate. They are evolving in terms of technology. But these air raids are only intensifying and have done since Donald Trump returned to office. And yet, as you've said, you know, he's expressed his surprise and shock that Vladimir Putin is doing this, launching rockets, he said, into cities and killing people.
You were out and about to see some of the effects of what had happened yesterday morning. What did you see?
Well, I mean, we went to the heart of a residential suburb yesterday in Kyiv, where a Shahed drone, these Iranian-designed drones, had slammed into the side of an apartment block. And it's an all-too-familiar scarring that you see in cities across Ukraine. You see the sides of buildings blown off. You see people's homes exposed. You see rubble at the bottom. And what is difficult for people is that because these sirens go off all the time, as you can appreciate, after a while, not everyone always reacts. You have mobile air defense units with these mounted 50 caliber guns driving around the city. People headed to to Kyiv's deep underground metro stations for shelter. And to be frank, there has just been no let up since Friday night. And I think few people are expecting there to be any going down the line.
And not just Kyiv hit, there were attacks across other parts of the country too.
Yes, we've seen Kharkiv in the northeast, Sumy in the north, Chernihiv in the north, Mykolaiv in the south, you know, and in Zhytomyr, there were 3 siblings from the same family. This is a rural western part of Ukraine. And this is the kind of random dimension you get from these airstrikes. The drone just landed on a collection of houses pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, a man was interviewed by local TV. He made his way home. He saw the house was on fire. His wife's in intensive care. And 3 children have lost their lives.
Were there missiles sent into Russia too from Ukraine?
Yes, we've seen, according to the Kremlin or Russia's defense ministry, 75 on Saturday, notably, 75 Ukrainian drones were intercepted crossing the border. There was another large-scale attack last night launched by Ukraine. This is reflective of the arms race we're seeing when it comes to drones. Ukraine is also looking to manufacture more drones and launch them at cities. But aside from Moscow's three main airports having to briefly be closed, it's not clear what damage, if any, was caused by these kind of airstrikes. So whilst Ukraine is looking to return fire, this is by no means tit for tat when it comes to trying to terrorize populations in different cities.
Is the US engagement with Moscow having any effect?
No, is the frank answer. You know, it's increasingly felt like theater when you look at talks in Saudi Arabia, when you look at talks in Turkey, when you look at the 2 official phone calls between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. You have the US and Ukraine saying, yeah, we're up for a 30-day ceasefire and then we can talk about peace. And you have the Kremlin saying, we need to talk about peace first. Our conditions haven't changed. They still amount to the capitulation of Ukraine. And then we can have a ceasefire. Only yesterday was the second time I made that Donald Trump had threatened further sanctions for Vladimir Putin over his impatience, shall we say. But he still said, I get along with him. I've known him a long time, and Volodymyr Zelensky, sure enough, was not immune for his own criticism, saying everything that comes out of his mouth, said Mr. Trump, is bad news for his country, with referencing Mr. Zelensky saying, look, America's silence only incentivizes Russia.
Prisoner exchanges continuing and increasing, James.
Yes, it's long been the sole area of cooperation. I mean, on Saturday, we saw the completion of a major prisoner of war exchange. This was the only area of agreement that came from a two-hour meeting between Ukrainian and Russian representatives in Turkey the week before. 1,000 prisoners of war. We were at one of the collection points in northern Ukraine. And what struck you were the majority of the soldiers arriving were emaciated. They had been in captivity, some of them, for up to 3 years, and waiting for them were mostly women, mothers, wives, sisters, children, whole clutching pictures of their loved ones. And they had no idea, you realised, whether their relatives would be involved in those exchanges. They didn't know how they were doing. They didn't even know whether they were alive. So when these men got off the bus, they were mobbed, and there were these women trying to get as much information out of them as possible. So this was the 65th exchange. We've seen around 6,000 Ukrainians make it home in this way. But when you consider that tens of thousands, if not more, are either missing or captured in occupied territory or Russia itself, it's a scratching of the surface. The West hopes it'll turn into something more, into a meaningful ceasefire discussion. But there is no evidence supporting that hope at the moment, shall we say.
James, thanks for speaking to us again. That's James Waterhouse, BBC News Ukraine correspondent in Kyiv. 27 minutes past 7.